Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Talk. Presented by Selena McKenzie. This is indeed Animal Talk, and I'm so glad that I'm just going to pass everything over to my panel today, my panel of ladies, because my voice is getting worse and worse by the minute. So I've got four lovely ladies in the studio. I'm just going to pass over to them. Welcome to the show, Kay Millington from Triple A. Ooh, that'd help. Nazli Van den Kibu from Pointer Clinic. Susie Brown from Adana, and sitting in the background, the lovely Mary Hobbo.
Hey.
Yay, we're all here. This is Animal Talk with you till four. If you want to join in with us or ask our experts any questions, you can call on 952-78-4000. You can WhatsApp 645-996795, or you can use good old-fashioned email studio@tre.radio.
Animal Talk.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
Donkey?
No? No, not a donkey. I thought it was a cat, actually, but it's not that. Did you know what that sound was? No. It was an otter, apparently.
Oh, the otter. Ah.
It was an otter. Just want to start off by thanking Ray, who sent a message in. He says, Selena, on Animal Talk, will you be talking about ponies? I said, not necessarily. Why? He said, because like you, they are a little horse. Bum bum. Thank you, Ray. That really helps. That really helps. Okay, I wanted to kick off today's show by talking about food, because I know a lot of people are giving, particularly their dogs. I'm not so sure about cats. We'll ask Kay in a second. Oh, no, I forgot. We've got to introduce Timothy. We've got five people in the studio, five guests. We have Timothy, the rescue cat, the therapy cat,
yeah,
in the studio. And I wish it was television, because Timothy is the most gorgeous, big, white, fluffy cat. Tell us a bit about him. Why is he a therapy cat?
So Timothy came in into AAA, and he was paralysed from the neck down, and it didn't look very good for him. Anyway, we tried so hard to save him, and he's been with us for 2 years now. I've adopted him as my cat, but I use him as a therapy cat. He's been training for 1 year now to be a therapy cat for animals and for people. So we started off just with animals to start with. So he helps cats and dogs, ones that are very sick. A lot of the time when they're on a drape and they're very bad intensive care, Timothy likes to lay with them and to lick them and clean them. And he's amazing. Like we noticed as soon as he noticed disabilities in other animals, because he had one, and he can see when they need him. So he's been really good with animals, and then obviously he's fantastic with people. He's fantastic with children. So he's just, after 1 year now, we're just starting another course now, which will be animal assisted therapy, but specialising in cats. So he will be, hopefully, unless there's someone else that wants to write in and say, I think he'll be the first official registered cat for therapy for people and for
that's
other animals.
Amazing.
Here.
So it's a professional course, a proper course.
So basically in England it's absolutely massive to do it. There's lots of therapy dogs, so people train to train therapy dogs, and they also have their own with cats as well. It's huge in England as well. It's a full-time job for people, actually. They go to schools children with special needs, old people's homes, obviously not every animal could do it, not every cat could do it. They have to have a special gift, and he has got definitely a special gift because, you know, I brought him in the pram, he's been in the car, he's sat good as gold, you know, he's been out on the sofa with us, and, you know, not every cat can do it. It's not something that anyone can say, right, I want my cat to be a therapy cat. They have to have something very special. And because cats are quite frightened, we were talking about it before, weren't we, Nosley? You know, they can be quite frightened and scared. They're not really like dogs in the sense that you can't just take them out on a lead and things like that. They get petrified. So he's got his safe space in his pram, and obviously he's got his double lead and his harness, but he's very relaxed. And hopefully over the next few months we're going to be organising, when I'm official, we'll be able to do school visits and things, and maybe people can come to AAA as well, and bring the kids and stuff like that, and we can do like a little course on how to take care of cats and treat, you know, how to treat cats, because a lot of people, you know, they haven't got cats and they might want to, you know, experience them, but they can't have them as a pet. So this is what Timothy, that's his job. So yeah,
we'll make sure we put an official photo on both Animal Talk on Facebook and on our TRE website. And if any schools are listening and they're interested, then do get in touch. He is actually a very pretty cat, isn't he?
He's amazing. He's a Turkish van cat.
Really?
If you look, he's got one eye different colour. He's got a blue eye and a green eye. Obviously, he must have belonged to someone at some point, because you don't get street cats like this, do you?
You don't.
But he wasn't microchipped and no one claimed him, and he obviously had an accident, so he was disabled. So,
And how did you... Is he fully...
He's
able-bodied
fine.
Now?
He's absolutely fine. For the first few months, he was very wobbly and he couldn't jump up and things like that. He kept falling. But now he's absolutely perfect now, and he's helping other people and other animals, and also me as well, because I think in my job as well, like as a vet nurse, it's nice to have a therapy for myself as well, because it is quite a stressful job, and he's always with me through the ups and downs, so he's very very special to me, and I love him so much.
What's not to love? He's gorgeous. Well, linking on to what I was going to talk about food, so what do you feed him? Does he have raw food?
So I was just speaking to Nosley about this, because he's quite a greedy cat.
he's
and
quite big.
He does want to steal everyone else's food. He should have special food because he's got problems with his skin. However, when you're surrounded by other animals and other cats, I've got to say, he does eat everyone's food. But he is quite good in the sense that he doesn't really eat human food as such. You know, he gets treats and stuff, but he's quite happy with his food, and he has his wet meat and stuff like that. But he's quite good, really, because my cats at home, they're always begging and they want something that we're eating, but he's actually quite good like that. If you leave something on the side, though, I wouldn't trust him. But yeah, he eats more cat food, if you know what I mean, which is for cats. But I know that, you know, a lot of people do feed their animals at home food that we have. What do you think about that, Nosley?
It depends very much what it is. Yeah, some things are harmless, other things are dangerous, and it also has to do with the quantity. So if you start feeding, say, a half a chicken to your dog every day because he likes it, you're definitely going to throw his diet out of whack. Yeah, you're giving too much protein. So if you do that long term, then that's not a good idea either.
Oh, that's interesting, because we've been feeding ours... chickens one day and fish the next, but maybe we're doing that
but
too
with
much.
Dry food.
With dry food as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you just add a bit to it, like I think everybody adds something to it, so that they that they eat it. But it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just the idea of the smell and the taste and they start eating.
What about you, Susie? I mean, with your own and obviously Adana, I mean... Probably with your own, you give raw food, but can you afford to do that at Adana?
No, we don't. No. But we do believe in prevention rather than cure. So we try to give the dogs the best quality food we can afford up there. And as you know, we just survive off donations, so it's not the highest quality, which we would really like to do. But we try and buy food which has got less cereals in. That's the best that we can do for them. And they just have dry food. And when a lot of people come to visit and take the dogs for a walk, they bring all sorts with them, and it's they think that we're horrible about when we say, oh, please don't give the dog this or don't give the dog that. I mean, I actually saw somebody give a whole packet of sausages to one dog,
and of course that's silly.
Well, they do because it was sitting and it was doing the things, you know, for them and being a good boy on the walk, and of course it's going to just keep saying, oh yes, please, another sausage.
Yeah, it's such a human thing to do, to give treats and to give extra things. And
if the dog's being good.
Yeah.
Then we have to
clean up the diarrhea.
Yeah, literally.
My dogs only get dry food. Yeah, because we don't give them treats. If I do give them a special treat, it's something that I'll get from the vets that I know. Because otherwise, if you start giving stuff to our dogs, it just goes straight through the stomachs. We've got them so that their stomachs are really, really good. And like I said, in Adana, we have to have prevention better than cure, because otherwise you're paying more for medication, you know, vets bills and everything. So, yeah, we try to keep it one type of food. We do have special food for little dogs, little breeds, and we do have them for puppies as well, but we try and buy the best that we can afford.
Royal Canin.
If we can, yes.
Yes.
But that's super expensive, and when you have 157 dogs and puppies, you can't always do it.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's annoying. I mean, somebody tried to give my dog the other day a little bit of a chocolate biscuit, and I'm like, no. Please, chocolate is really... Oh, it's only a little bit. It's a treat. It's not a treat. You're doing more harm. It's ridiculous. Yes. It makes me so angry. So angry. But, I mean, I'm at fault as well, because I was saying off air to you, Nazli, that my dog loves tea, but she shouldn't really have that, should she? A drink of tea is not good for her.
Yeah.
So should it just be basic, the mixer and basic meat and fish, like they were feral, for example? We shouldn't be giving them anything else. Or vegetables are okay, I guess.
Vegetables are okay. It's not much you can do wrong with that if the dog wants to eat it. Mm-hmm. But then also think of the quantity that you're giving.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Brilliant. We've had an email in from Agiles. It was a WhatsApp, actually. Agiles, who's just driving home, and he said, can you just ask a quick question for the panel? Is there anything pet owners should be wary of after the recent rains, i.e. irritations, bad weather, bad water, etc.?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely,
good question.
100%. Definitely. Yeah, we've seen a lot of dogs with feet problems. Yeah, just walking through the rain, walking through the mud. So you have to take care of the hygiene. Yeah, that means that if it's been very muddy, rinse the feet off, dry the feet with the towel. Yeah, dogs sweat on their feet anyway. And if they're then, say, clogged with mud and they can't really sweat properly and ventilate, they'll get a problem.
Like horses, isn't it? Horses are not good in sludge as well.
Yeah.
Has yours been okay? It must have been a nightmare, actually. Are you still wanting towels and blankets and things?
Blankets, yes, please. Yeah, because we've had so many puppies in the past couple of months.
Yeah.
We've been inundated. In fact, we were so inundated with them. We've had something like 21 in different people's homes because we just couldn't cope with the quantity up there. But... it came through like Niagara Falls in one end and out of the other. But
that is being on a mountain.
Yeah.
You get everything that comes from the top and wants to find the easiest way down.
Yeah.
And you happen to have a kennel there.
It's true. And we've kept it as clean as we possibly can. I mean, we have done an amazing job, but we're trying to not let the dogs drink the muddy water because... Yeah. Then you get things like Giardia and things like that, you know, and that is parasites, and it's so harmful to them. And also it's not very nice. But we haven't, touch wood, had it so far, because we have been very alert about it, because we know from past experiences, if it happens before, you don't want it to happen a second time.
Yeah. It's a nightmare, isn't it? Because in summer you have the fires to worry about, in winter you have this sort of weather.
Yeah.
And what about cats? Do you have to be careful with cats getting the paws wet and things?
Well, generally, I think it's always good to dry your cat's paws and things. Obviously, mine don't go out, as we all know. But... they're safe. But no, in general though, dogs and cats, when they get damp paws, and obviously when it's damp, they can make bacteria. And I think that it's important to just always check your animals when they've been outside, when your dogs have been for a walk, when your cats might have been outside, and also check in between the paws that there's no grass seeds or anything like that, because you've got grass seeds and then you've got moisture, and then you can have a problem also with that. So
yeah, but I think also that cats are cats that have the liberty to go out or to be in or, yeah, when it really rains, they'll find a very nice dry place and just
stay
put.
They always find somewhere. Yeah, of course.
They're not going to start running and playing in the rain.
Of course. And the processionary caterpillars, are they, does the rain get rid of them?
We so wished that the rains and then the floods and everything, that these caterpillars would have been washed away.
But they haven't.
We well, there is a company that walks dogs, and they've had to change their route now since this weekend, because there's literally heaps of them lying.
Yeah.
So I think the rain didn't really get them out of the nests, and now they're ripe enough to come. They just all fall out of the nest on the floor.
Yeah. Everyone be careful.
Be careful.
Right, let's take an advert break. We can all have a cough.
The Lifestyle Show. Presented
you
by
Lee right after all these years.
Platypus?
No. Any ideas? Mary?
I hadn't heard.
Oh, you didn't hear? She hasn't got headphones on. Sorry. It was a squirrel.
Oh, the squirrel.
Squirrel.
I'm just going to say that.
Of course you were. Don't forget, excuse me, don't forget, if you want to join in, you can call us, email or WhatsApp us if you want to join in with anything to do with the show. This is how.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
This is Animal Talk with Kay Nasley and Susie. Kay, I want to speak to you, or I want you to speak to me, about swallows.
About swallows. Well, another one of my favourite birds. I've actually got a tattoo of two swallows on my back. So basically, they're coming back. In fact, this morning, strangely enough, we were talking about it last week, the swallows came back to my garage, which I think I'm really honoured that they came back.
I've seen loads of them already in the sky.
But I didn't see them before. Literally this morning they were singing away. I was so happy. So basically they're coming back now from Africa and they've been travelling a long way. And they do nest in the same places. They can nest up to, I think it's about 10 years or something in the same place. So they'll be coming back to where obviously they've always been coming. And the problem now is, and it always has been, is a lot of the communities, they don't know the law about swallows and house martins, and they actually do remove the nests.
Ooh.
Which is very, very naughty. And just to remind everyone, there is a fine of $5,200 per nest. Wow. So if you can imagine some of the communities, which I'm not going to mention, that have actually removed in the past a lot of nests. If you think, for example, you know, sometimes you've got a lot of garages and you've got 5, 6, 7 nests. Imagine what that's up to. Not just that, the fact that you're taking away their home. Every single piece of their home, they make it with the saliva in the mouth and the mud on the floor, and they make little balls. And each nest has a 1,000 pieces. So that's 1,000 journeys to make the nest. And someone would just knock it out in a second. And it's so sad. I mean, they are protected. They're protected by law. They're very, very lovely birds. They're very difficult to rescue. They're quite difficult to feed. So you need to know what you're doing. You definitely can't do it if you're a first timer. But, you know, people do need to know. Communities, presidents, people that are living in private houses, you can't remove the nests.
People do it.
They don't like bird poo. They don't want bird poo on the car. Okay. But, you know, if you do know of anyone that has done it, you can report them to the Guardian Seville, and they do actually take it quite seriously because they are protected by law. Mm. So to keep an eye, everyone, for that, please.
Okie dokie. And cats, when people move house.
Yeah, we had we was commenting on something last week, both of us, I think, on Facebook, weren't we, Selena?
We were.
I think what it is a lot of people, when they move house, they don't realise how stressful it is for them, obviously, for the people. You're stressed, you're putting your stress onto your animals. Cats, it's the number one stress for cats is moving house. I can't think of anything worse for a cat. To change the environment, change the smells, sometimes change the furniture because not everyone's always taking their things with them, you know, if they're renting, things like that. So their smell's not there when they arrive. So the most important thing that I say to everyone, how careful you have to be, even if you have the calmest cat, if you move house and the cat escapes, it's a big chance that you're not going to find the cat because they don't know the scent and they can't find the way back. So I would say is if you move house, you need to set up a room ready with the litter tray, the food, water, everything. And they need to be getting settled in that room and to the smells of the new house or apartment for at least 2 weeks. I know people might think that's a bit dramatic, but it's the best way, because when you move in and you come in and out and you've got windows and doors and things like that, lots of cats, you'll see it on Facebook all the time, you know, escaping when they move house. And people also letting the cats out too early from moving house. They might say, oh, well, you know, I've read that it's 2 weeks. And no, it's not 2 weeks, because the thing is, when your cat doesn't know its scent and it goes into a new place, it might only walk 3-4 minutes away from the house. But once it's gone, it can't find its way back. Mm. So you really, really do need to be super, super careful. I say, in my opinion, people might disagree, 3 months minimum to keep your cats inside to get used to the whole environment. And then when you do take them out, I would definitely be supervised for the next week or so. Obviously, I'm not a fan of cats going out in general. However, I know that a lot of people do. So that's the best advice that I can give. Also, you know, the tracking collars are fantastic.
Is the law the same for cats as it is for dogs about having them chipped?
Yes, you have to have them chipped, obviously, and vaccinated. You know, if people are going to let
the
cats out...
That's another thing when you move house.
You
change
have to
the address on your microchip.
Yeah, make sure all your numbers are up to date. And also, always a safety collar. Not the normal collars which you have for dogs, because they're dangerous. But always have your telephone number. You don't have to have the cat's name, but at least the telephone number. Because if someone finds your cat, they might not be bothered to go to the vet, and they might not have a cat box. If one of your neighbours finds your cat that's been lost when you've moved house, all they have to do is give you a call and say, your cat's in my garden or whatever. And, you know, for the sake of €10 to buy a collar and a nice tag, you know, it's definitely worth it. So people, please be careful when you move in house with your cats, because honestly, we get so many, and a lot of them, if they're not microchipped and they don't know they've been brought to a shelter, a lot of them, they don't get returned because, you know, you can't identify them. So,
you know what my advice would be? Don't move house.
Don't let your cat out. That'd be the best thing.
That's the best plan.
Yeah.
Right, we've got quite a few WhatsApps. We've got some to read out from the papers, but there's got some WhatsApps here. I'm going to scooch across because my eyes aren't that good. Not sure who this is from. Somebody called Hannah. Last 2 digits, 09. I volunteer at a shelter in Murcia and run an association for cats called Whisker Warriors Spain. I have had a foster cat for over a year who has bilateral cranial artesia. Hang on. Bilateral chonal atresia. I think you better come and read this, Nazli. We have operated 4 times with balloon enlargement, and just, it sounds like the stomach balloon, and just wondered if the panel had heard of any other cat in this condition. It appears to be incredibly rare. We haven't been able to cure her, but I wondered if they've heard anything, Hannah. See it here. It sounds like a bariatric band, is it? Just maybe stopping her eating, I don't know.
I think it has to do with the system in your nose.
The nose?
Yeah.
Okay. Hannah, let us know exactly. Yeah. We've got Nazli the vet. She thinks it's to do with the nose, but let us know exactly. We're not sure. Big words there. I'll wait until you message again. Meanwhile, Margaret says, I had a cat who was a natural therapy cat. Just like Timothy. My front window opens directly onto a pedestrian street, and he was very tolerant of people petting him. One day he was in the road and a young teenage boy approached him. Normally Corey was wary of children, but this time he stayed for about 15 minutes. The boy sat on the floor with him whilst his mum watched from the other side. She mouthed thank you to me. It was obvious her son had some disability. I was so proud of my cat, and I miss him so much.
That's lovely.
A natural hero.
Yeah, well done, Corey.
Oh, that's lovely.
And Angela says, hi, old wives' tale which works. When you move with a cat, put melted butter on their paws. It does work. Yeah. Mary's agreeing.
It doesn't.
Doesn't.
Sorry, I'll tell you what it is. It's to distract them mainly from sort of wanting to wander, they say, if you read about it. But I would never try it. Would you, Nazli?
No. No, and there's two reasons for that. Yeah, cats are very clean on themselves. I think the butter will disappear very easily.
Fast. Yeah.
Plus, if the cat walks through the house with his buttered feet,
yeah,
that's probably where it comes from, that they recognise a smell from the butter and then find their way back. But by that time, you've mopped the floor.
Yeah, I wouldn't risk it, but I have heard it many times.
She did say an old wives' tale. Yeah. Right, Hannah said it's her nose. Her airways are closed completely. I know the feeling. It's a condition normally found in babies, but it can appear in animals. But I am yet to find another cat born with this condition. That's probably why I've not heard of it.
I have never seen one in the 30 odd years.
Wow.
No, and it's a genetic, a deformality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the cat's born wrong.
Yeah.
So if there's not enough opening to breathe through, I think that's what they try to do with the balloon, just to expand it a bit. But the body always wants to heal itself, and then it goes smaller again. It's the same if they don't have tear ducts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put in a tube and then wait for it to heal. Mm. You pull the tube out, within 2 days again. It's closed again.
The poor cat, how awful.
Oh, we'll wish you luck with all that. Yes. You'll have to let us know how you get on with that, Hannah.
Yeah, we really, really want you to keep us updated on that one. I have a question. Actually, I know the answer to this because Susie told me, and this is something I never knew, that if a female dog mates with more than one male dog, she can have puppies from different litters.
That's true.
I never knew that.
Same with cats.
And it's the same with cats. Wow.
And it could even be time between delivering the first male's puppies, and then it could take up to a week to deliver, say, the second dog's puppies.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, there you go. You learned something on this show.
Because we had a dog with a litter of 9 puppies. Not one of them looked the same. No, 2 of them looked the same.
Oops.
It was very bizarre. They went from boxer dogs to little black fluffy things. Honest to goodness, she must have had a good time.
Or not, as the case may be.
Lesser.
Right, we're going to take another advert break. We'll be back on the other side. You should know that one.
The Lifestyle Show.
That's the one that we always
never get. A capybara.
A capybara. Do you know what a capybara is? It's like a
giant
huge
guinea pig.
They're ugly.
None of us knew at first, but we
do
out.
Now, for
we
sure.
We do now. So, excuse me, some more emails come through. Kate in Arroyo de la Miel. My puppy has been wormed for the first time and there is a lot of blood when he goes to the toilet. Is this normal?
We have that quite often, yes.
Yeah.
It is normal.
Yes, it is quite
not
normal.
To panic.
It's the worms that we don't like.
Yeah, they come out. Once they've been wormed, the worms come out, don't they? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're long. They're long worms.
They can be. Sometimes tiny puppies come in with the biggest tummies you've ever seen, and you think, oh, look at them. You know, they're well-fed. No, they're
full of worms.
They're just full of worms.
Yep. And it will come out as a plate of spaghetti.
Oh, I know. Yes.
And honestly, like a whole...
And is the blood because the worms are feeding off their inside?
It takes them off. The blood comes out with it. It can happen for about a week or more sometimes.
And is it true that when you've got worms, it makes them more hungry? They don't get full? Is that...
I don't know.
No, that's true.
They do
that's
seem more hungry,
true. Depends a bit which worm, especially the tapeworm, because it literally eats
their food
from you.
Yeah.
Can it be dangerous?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
If you don't get it treated.
Yes.
And I should imagine, Susie, most of yours, I mean, because they're rescue dogs, they've just been normally dumped somewhere. They're going to have ticks and worms and all sorts.
Most of them it's worms. It's the biggest thing. They'll come in as tiny or as fat, and all of them produce the most horrific amount of worms. And that's my one big thing. I can pick up poo till the cows come home, but seeing those worms is something that I really, really hate. I never get used to it.
No.
And usually these are roundworms, in the younger puppies.
Yes.
But the risk of the tapeworm is that also the whole reason that dogs have to be dewormed before they go to the UK, which is the echinococcus, is one of the tapeworms, and they can actually cause cysts in people. Yeah, so you can get a cyst in your brain, in your newborn baby, in your liver.
The worm from the dog.
These worms.
They won't let a dog into the UK unless it's got an official stamp that it has been wormed 3 days, I think,
Maximum 5 days.
Before it enters.
Yeah. For that reason.
Well, Kate Arroyo de la Miel, you don't need to worry that there should be, it's quite normal for them to be blood there, so you don't need to worry, according to our experts. The next one, I don't know who this is from. It just says, my cat has extra toes on her feet. I believe this is known as polydactyl, but why does it happen?
I've got a cat with
little genetic disorder. Yeah. Oh. Little mistake. Yeah. It happens.
Oh, it's not going to
hurt.
The
cat doesn't mind.
No. Yeah. It's just it's got
quite
a bonus.
Cute, yeah.
It's quite cute. And two more. Rhea in Torrox, my dog. Oh, yes, sorry, we answered that one. I've repeated that one. Rhea in Torrox, my dog hates this time of the year as he always gets spring allergies. Is there anything I can do to prevent it? Spring allergies.
Move.
I mean, a spring allergy is like sneezing, like us, and irritated eyes.
Yeah, now we've had the rain, but this is the season of the mimosa flowering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we're going to get the olive trees flowering. All highly allergenic. I'm not talking about those caterpillars in the meantime. And, yeah, it's a seasonal allergy, and you just have to, as soon as you notice the symptoms, it's best to already then give something.
Mm-hmm. Like an antihistamine.
Don't wait until the dog has scratched himself mm-hmm. completely open. Yeah, there are nice drugs and there are some cheaper, not so nice drugs, mm-hmm. but they all work against, say, the what you see is the itchiness.
So the best thing that Rhea can do is to go to the vets and get something before it happens. Yes. Prevention is better than cure.
It is.
And we've already covered this one. Alan says, does Adana still need towels and blankets because I've just had a sort out and have loads?
Yes, please.
Yes, yes, please, Alan. We'll give you all the contact details out afterwards. So that's that. I have... where is it? I've got three questions. I've got a question for each of you.
Ooh.
Tailored to each of you.
Okay.
K, what is a group of cats called?
Oh, don't put me on the spot like that. Because Nasli's looking at me like this. Right, if the vet doesn't know, then... I actually don't know.
You've done this to us before.
And we've answered it before. I remember.
I can't remember the answer.
Would you like to educate us on what a group of cats is called, please?
Well, I could go on to the next one while you think about it, because I know you know.
Remember, didn't we say it was like that soup that you have? Yeah, a chowder.
Yes! Well,
remember?
It's a
chowder, you did know.
Muscle chowder, don't you? Remember, we did it in one of the shows in the beginning. Yes. There you go. So if you need to remember, just think about a bowl of muscle chowder.
Oh, don't make me laugh. Susie, where is the only place on their body that dogs have sweat glands?
On their paws.
Yay, on the pads of their paws. Well done. Nasli, what is the only mammal capable of true flight?
Capable of what?
True flight.
Flying.
Oh, a mammal?
Bats.
The bats, of course. We're just talking about the bats.
It is, of course, the bats. Well done to you all. What else do we have? I think we need to take another advert break. But we will be back with the last 20 minutes of Animal Talk.
The Lifestyle Show. Presented by Selena McKenzie.
Yes, well done. Do they really make that noise? I don't know where she gets these. It's Marie Carmen. I don't know where she gets them from, but apparently it's true. She must go over the internet and find them. Susie's laughing. Oh, dear. Don't make me laugh. You're all right there. Yeah, she's on the giggles. I didn't want to do this. Margaret, I appreciate you. This is another Margaret. Appreciate you doing this. I didn't want to have to read this out because my voice is on its way out, but I am going to. So Margaret is a big cat lover and sent some interesting cat facts, I'm sure. Our experts already know. Cats spend 70% of their life sleeping, which works out to around 13 to 16 hours a day.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. Or more.
They love it, don't they?
Wow.
They're always sleeping.
And Isaac Newton invented the cat door. Did you know that?
Do you know what? I didn't know that.
No.
Do you mean cat flap?
The cat cat flap, yeah. The scientist most famous for calculated gravity is also invented the cat door or cat flap. This is because he was constantly interrupted by his cat scratching at the door. Yeah. So he called the Cambridge carpenter to saw two holes in the door, one for the mother cat and one for her kittens. Apparently these holes can be seen at Cambridge University still today.
Really? That's interesting.
Someone has to think of it. Yeah, exactly.
But you know now the new ones, well, new ones, in the last couple of years where you set it up with your microchip so that only your cats can come in your house.
Oh, that's clever.
We had them a few years ago.
Fantastic idea.
It's actually changed my positioning of the microchip. Because if the microchip is down too low, so if you, it's supposed to be placed on the left side of the neck. And I know that in the UK, they actually place it more between the scapulae, so between the shoulder blades, which holds it better in position, actually. But if they're placed too low on the left side of the neck and they do sag down a bit, then when the cat comes through the cat flap, literally his head is in front of it, so it doesn't open. So the cat goes, boom.
Oh, bless.
So I've actually started placing them much more on top.
Right, so there's a good reason for that.
I didn't know that.
How do you put the microchips in on a cat and a dog?
How does it go in?
Yeah.
With a big needle.
Oh, is it only tiny then? Is it really tiny?
It's
different for different animals.
Yes, maybe, a cent long, and it's about a millimetre and a half thick.
That's quite big
then.
Yeah,
that has to go through a needle.
You have to
and you have different sizes. Yeah, for the horses, it's a bigger needle. And I've got the mini microchips.
Yeah.
Even though you're a 60-kilo dog, doesn't matter.
No.
That's sweet.
They look more scary than to normal people, don't they, than we see them, though? Because the cats and the dogs, normally, the cats are fantastic. I don't know about you, but they don't flinch even.
They don't even flinch.
They do not even flinch. It's the owners that are obviously more worried, isn't it? Than
exactly. They see that needle coming out, and then they're like,
and they can put the stress onto the animal, can't they?
Absolutely,
the animal knows that.
But it doesn't really hurt at all, does it?
But you have those that are just a little bit pathetic.
Yes,
like the German Shepherd.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness, you're putting in a microchip.
Pedencos, no problem.
Not a problem whatsoever. They just say shut off and it's under.
But German Shepherds are a bit diva-ish, are they?
Yeah.
The third thing Margaret said, thank you, Margaret, this is very sweet of you to send it. A house cat can reach speeds of up to 30 miles per hour. If you've watched your little kitten charging around the living room when they're feeling lively, you know that cats are pretty quick, but you won't believe this fun cat fact. They can hit speeds of around 30 miles per hour, which is so fast that they could beat Usain Bolt in a 200-metre dash.
Wow.
So there you go.
Does anybody know what the oldest cat life is? Because my mum's cat was 26 when she died.
I can tell you.
Yeah?
Right, so we do cat tours sometimes at AAA when we do open days, and we do a little talk. But it's weird because I've been looking into it. It's like they say officially that the oldest cat was 27 years old, called Cream Puff from Texas. However, I was reading something last week. I think that's the one that's been registered in the world of, the record. But I read last week somewhere, it can't be true. I think this cat was like 38 or something. But listen, what we'll do for the next show, I'll look into it, because when we do the cat tours and I ask the questions, and then at the end the kids answer the questions so that I know that the cat was called Cream Puff and it was from Texas.
Not everybody tells authorities that.
Yes, exactly.
Because my mum didn't tell
anybody.
That's
the world record, I suppose. The Guinness World Record. Yeah. That's the one.
Well, the oldest one I've had, I know, because that was a birth date, and I put it to sleep at a dying date, was 31.
Wow.
That cat did live in the sink in the kitchen for the last 3 years.
Aww.
You couldn't walk, you drank out of the tap, peed and pooed in the sink, and I'm like... do you really want to be 31 then?
So there is older cats, of course, but the Guinness Book of Records, I think, obviously, you'd have to contact them, wouldn't you, and
go through
register
all the
it and everything.
Well, the thing is, we didn't know how old the cat was when it arrived at our house. We just know how long the cat had been with us.
Yes.
So that cat could
have been... And that was 27 years.
26.
No,
26.
Yeah, so
you weren't born.
We knew... We had it for 26 years.
That is absolutely crazy. Amazing.
It's a lot.
Did it go out as well?
Yes. And it dug a hole under the tree and buried itself and went to sleep.
Oh.
With leaves on it, it did it itself.
Bless it.
Oh. I know.
So sad. Chickens do that as well.
Do they?
Oh! I wish we had another microphone.
Because I used to have chickens.
Mary had chickens.
They do it. Have you ever seen them do the death chicken dance? So what they do is they go get some, like, some dirt, and then they do the chicken dance, which is this.
Yeah, and then
they just go...
Looks good.
Like that. Yeah, they do.
They do.
So, you know, it's quite sad, isn't it? And they're lovely, aren't the chickens?
Aww. What lovely about pets. Dogs? What's the eldest living dog, do we know?
Oh, that's older. Wasn't it that ugly old thing...
In America?
Yes.
In America?
I think I read it out once.
That was in the 30-something.
That was 30-something years.
Yeah. Because horses generally live to the 30s, don't they? So the old living horse would probably be even more.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wonder how old the oldest capybara is. Do we care?
Next time we'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll find out. Right, I'm just going to play you something that's happening on Mother's Day, and then we will have a final chat with our guests, and then that will be it for today's Animal Talk.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and we want to help you celebrate the special women in your life. So this Sunday, why not join us for our Mother's Day request show, a day dedicated to the love, laughter and memories we share with our mums. It's your chance to send a musical shout out to the woman who's been there through it all, whether it's her favourite song, a cherished memory or just a heartfelt dedication. You can send your request by emailing me, selina@tre.radio, and we will read it out live on air on Sunday. Don't miss out on the Mother's Day request show Sunday the 30th of March, because every mum deserves to hear how much she's loved.
Your Sunday selection is brought to you by Napoleon Premium Barbecues for a sun-like intensity that transforms your barbecue into the sizzle zone.
Yes, we have had... I don't actually know what that was. We have had many requests for Mother's Day for this Sunday, so don't leave it too late. Please don't do it on the day, because we probably run out of time. We normally do. So email me your request for your mum, selina@tre.radio. Right, Kay, over to you. What's happening at AAA? Any events?
Right, so on Sunday, because we had to postpone because of the rain, so hopefully this Sunday is going to be fine. So on Sunday the 30th, we've got our open day, so everyone's welcome to come there. So that'll be nice. There'll be some nice stalls. You get a chance to meet some of the animals and things like that. I'll be there in the cat house.
You said the 3rd of April?
The 30th.
Oh, the 30th.
Yeah. Give me heart failing. I thought, did I get it wrong? Yeah. So this Sunday. So that should be good.
30th of March then.
30th of March. Did I say it?
Yeah, you said April. 30th
Sorry.
Of March. Yeah, so okay.
Crikey.
So we put the clocks forward as well.
Okay. So yeah, that'll be on Sunday. And then also to say that we're still looking for volunteers in the cat house and for walking dogs. We're always looking for people to not just come and help with the cleaning and things like that, but also it's great for the cats to have some socialisation and things like that. So if people want to come along, they can contact us on AAAMarbella.org. Also, if anyone wants to help with in any other way, we do have an Amazon wish list, which helps with food and things like that. So yeah, we're very, very grateful for all your support, and thank you to everyone that supports us.
Can people meet Timothy if they come?
Yes.
He goes to work with
me. So yeah. Timothy's with me all the time, but as I said, I'm going to be trying to do maybe in summer or after summer some courses for people, like first-time cat owners, but also people that just want to come and spend time with cats. And to spend time with Timothy, we had a little boy a few weeks ago who was severely disabled, and Timothy just went and sat on his knee, and it was so lovely because the mum and dad had said he'd never touched a cat before because he was blind, and it was honestly I cried because it was so lovely to see them, and the little boy was so happy.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, cats are very underrated, I think, sometimes, and people don't realise, you know, how powerful they can be for therapy.
Yeah. And if people want to get in touch with the best vet in the world, how do they do so?
Oh, thank you. No, I just severely want to warn everybody for these caterpillars.
Yeah,
because they might be harder to see because of the mud and because of fairly overgrown grass everywhere. And like Susie just said, don't step on them. Don't try to sweep them away. If you want to get them away from where they are, get some hairspray.
Yeah, spray that on them so that the hairs don't release, and then you can remove them.
That's an excellent
tip. That's a good idea.
That's a very, very good tip. And it's good to say this. I mean, we sort of mentioned this last month, and we'll mention it again, but for people that have just moved over here that don't know, why would you know what this thing is that you see, this snake-like thing?
Lots of people don't know.
People don't realise, and they're so dangerous. They're so dangerous. And how can they get in touch with you at Pointers?
Either by phone, 952... Oh, that was a good one.
When you think about something too much.
980-4165.
Well done.
Or info@pointerclinic.com.
Fantastic. And another fantastic dog rescue place. You don't have cats, do you?
No, we don't have the facilities for cats.
Yeah. So, Adana, Susie, how can people get in touch with you? And is there anything you want to tell us about?
Yes, please. I mean, we have events now programmed for the rest of this year, all the way up to our Christmas dinner. But if you go on our website, adana.es, you will see a list of everything that's up and coming. Now, there's a fair in Kempinski's this Saturday. It's not an Adana event, but we've been given a table there. So you can come up and buy some of the things that we've got there, because every cent of us helps. You know, we're surviving off donations only. But yes, if you've got any questions about anything, you can go on our website. There's several emails you can contact us through, or you can go on Facebook, or you can contact me personally, 6699 30624. Any questions or anything that you need to know.
Brilliant. And the website's adana.es.
Yes.
Adana.es. I've been to that Kempinski. It's a beautiful market. It's like you're going through an artisan market on the sea, so it's well worth a visit.
Oh, okay.
It's really nice. Really it's the nice.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And I've got half price calendars. Woohoo.
Well, we've still got 9 months of the year left, haven't we?
That's true.
We've got 9 months of the year. Thank you very much, ladies. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone.
Hannah is next. We'll be doing another animal talk next month, and I'll be back with more Life Sales tomorrow, playing out as we always do with an animal related song. Here's The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Knows about that day that goes that way.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.